Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Robert Thibodeau, welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today, as we are going to dive back into part two of our amazing interview with Dr. Bruce Hartman, author of the book, Jesus is Everything, Discovering It All When There Is Nothing Left But Jesus. Amen. Now, if you missed any, and I mean any, of the prior episode, you need to go back and catch up. Dr. Hartman shares some interesting facts about Jesus and different facets of who Jesus is, the real Jesus, right? As we are discussing his book, Jesus is Everything. Now, today we'll be concluding this great interview, so let's jump back into the interview now with Dr. Bruce Hartman.
To live our faith, to openly serve and proclaim Jesus as Lord, as you say, to live the gospel, that requires courage, especially in this current politically correct climate today. Yes. I mean, does your book share how someone who may be struggling with sharing their faith, how they can find the courage to take that faith stand in the face of this kind of opposition?
Yeah, it's throughout the book. And, you know, you just said something that's very important, and it's part of my ministry, is I've been working with an author who's writing a book about how to bring Jesus to the workplace. And she's always talking about telling people, but that's not what that's bad evangelism. It's more about how we live the gospel, which is what you just said. You know, it's better to be the gospel than to say the gospel.
Yeah.
Because without action, it's our words become very hollow. So living the gospel in the workplace is very important. Little things, Bob, like when I was working near the end of my career, I kept the Bible on my desk. And naturally, even though I was the number two person in the company, the head of HR came in and said, that's against company policy. So I had read the policy manual. I said, show me in the policy where it says I can't carry a Bible on my desk. I can't place it there. And she said, well, it's not specifically in there. Well, then if it's not specifically in there, the Bible stays here. And I said, you know, it's interesting. I bet I get more people coming into my office to ask about their life than you do. And she says, why is that? I said, because they know that Jesus is behind what I have to say. So part of courage is to not think short term, not think about, well, a few people may not like this if I act outwardly Christian. But in the long term, when people are in trouble, when people need help, they'll understand who and what you are. So I say that to everybody that, you know, I was watching a school committee meeting where they were complaining about Jesus and Christians, and they were saying things about Christians that weren't true. But the speaker continued to say what he had to say. And to me, that's what courage is you're always, and even Jesus, he had, you know, had the evil spirits, but just stay with Jesus. He'll get you through. To always have courage in the long term. Don't think short term. Short term is, I don't want this pain in my life. I don't want to be embarrassed anymore. No. Stick there, because in the end, when you get through, people will respect and recognize who you are and what you stand for.
Amen. Amen. And you share that following Jesus is simple to understand, but hard to be completely faithful 100% of the time. What can someone do when they feel like they're coming up short and they have that sense of feeling like they let the Lord down?
Well, seeing that I do that every day.
you too?
Okay. Well, I think this part of being Christian, you know, Genesis 1:27, it says that we're made in the image of God. Doesn't mean we're God. Sorry, Bob.
That's all right.
I'm just going to leave that. Oh, you can edit this out, I hope. Okay.
Probably. Yeah.
We'll try one more time, I promise, Bob.
Not a problem.
But I think, Bob, there's really three steps. The first is prayer. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to go. Let's try this instead. Sorry about this, Bob. My grandchildren are visiting, so I have to use this alternative. Is it okay if I do it like this?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, sorry about this, Bob. Right. So I think it, back to your question, the first is prayer. You know, don't just apologize and don't just ask for forgiveness. Ask for wisdom. What is it I can do better? Am I being too short-tempered? Am I being too judgmental? There's something like that. And then the second thing that I think is just as important as going to the Lord. I think the second thing, Bob, Pastor Bob, is that we have to go and observe. Mm-hmm. And so if you say to the Lord, am I being too judgmental? Watch the Holy Spirit work the next couple of days. They'll leave you with some sense of unease. Oh, okay, how I address that person is probably not as kind as I could have addressed them. Or, look at, you know, maybe it's your actions. Maybe you love money more than Jesus and you feel that. And you'll be put in circumstances of that. So it's prayer. It's watching the response from our Lord through the Holy Spirit. And then it's our acting. Because our journey with Jesus is never complete until we enter paradise.
That's right. Amen.
And I love Billy Graham's quote, I'm just passing through this world. Heaven is my home. And I think if we think about life like that, that we're being perfected as we're here. That's a very Methodist comment, by the way, Pastor. that we're being perfected here. And I think that that's, to me, the biggest thing to do is pray, be honest with yourself, and then be honest as the Holy Spirit convicts you when you make a mistake. Because the Holy Spirit will say, no, I don't want you to do that.
Yep. Amen. And I love when I get that prompting from the, because I'm, you know, I have my idea. Okay, this is how we're going to go with this. I'm going to implement this and this is going to be great. And then there's something like, nah, don't do that. And, right. But I've already initiated the plan. You know, I mean, I'm already moving down this road. I mean, I got to put, you know, it's a lot harder to stop something once the momentum is going, you know, but if you pray it out, it's like, yeah, okay, I'm not going to go that route. Then everything stops. And then everyone wants to, well, why did you stop? You know, it's just something inside of me is saying, don't do it. And later you find out you're right. You know?
Right. And that's the thing. That's the thing about being connected is once you have, that you get that feeling, we hiked the Appalachian Trail, my wife and myself, a few years ago, actually 2019. And one of the things that you hear about the trail is when you get a sense that you shouldn't be doing or going someplace because of potential danger or an individual that you meet, you're told to listen to that feeling, right? That's really just the Holy Spirit helping you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so anytime we listen, we did well. Anytime we didn't listen, we kind of got ourselves into a jam. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I think we're talking about here is prayer for the Holy Spirit to be with you, but also to pay attention. And the other thing I've discovered too, Pastor, is that Jesus will never send you any place without the right resources.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Yeah, he is definitely the one who pre-positions everything you need. Along, you may think, if I go over there, what am I going to do when I get there? Well, if you're really being led by the Holy Spirit, that connection is going to take place when you get there.
No doubt.
That's not to mean you just go blindly forward. But right. There is a faith element involved in that.
Yeah, I agree with another thing you said that I think is really important for me is, many times, it's particularly in this day, this age, we'll see something and think, oh, that was the answer. Mm. But what I have found being reflective for more than just a moment, maybe it's a few days, maybe it's an hour, just to kind of let it sit in and seep in, you get a far better answer.
Yeah.
And I now catch myself saying, okay, glad I didn't jump when I first thought I had it.
Amen. Amen. Back on your book, in the first chapter, you discussed the man in the bed. Is that the person you were talking about
in yes.
the beginning? Yeah. Okay. That was him. Okay. Right. Go through that concept a little bit more.
So, you know, I really thought about the man and thought about him as a human. You know, he was one of the early folks at AT&T that had developed the phone systems that we use today. So he was a fairly significant executive and had a wonderful reputation and had a significant amount of power in his life. He had a wonderful family, and his family still misses him, of course. And he got up every morning and shaved, and every morning he had breakfast, and every morning he had lunch, just like all of us. But at the very end, he didn't have to shave. He didn't have to go to work. He didn't have to read. He didn't have to watch his favorite Clint Eastwood movies. All he had left was time with his family and Jesus. And that's the essence of what I'm trying to capture in this book, is everything else is unimportant.
Yeah.
Amen. Except Jesus is everything. Yep. And Amen. His last moments, you know, he'd been comatose most of the day, and his son read him that poem with his wife holding his hand. And with his eyes closed, and when the poem was done, he opened one eye and said, "I love you," to his wife, and passed. Yeah. And, you know, that to me, that I don't think we can capture the goodness of Jesus any better than in that story. And it certainly has helped. It's helped the widow grieve, and it's helped that family grieve, knowing that he's safe.
Yeah. Amen. Yep. Amen. Absolutely. 100%. You know, you teach that Jesus is able to give us total freedom if we're obedient. But doesn't that seem like a conflicting statement, freedom versus obedience?
Yeah, that's the irony of Jesus, right? He says, take my yoke, right? Life is easier. Jesus only asks of us to have faith in him. And through that faith is how we connect with Jesus, and that belief. And that is kind of what steers us into doing the right thing. There is no freedom with money.
Right.
That's true. You can come and go to work all you want. You can make all the decisions you want and things like that. At the end of the day, you're owned by money. Mm-hmm. Jesus doesn't have that same lurid appeal. You know, his appeal is more benevolent, more gracious. It's kinder. You know, you can talk about, a lot of people talk about lust and alcohol and gambling and crime, and, you know, there's no freedom in that, because you're always looking for something else and you're never satisfied. With Jesus, you're always looking for something, but you're always satisfied when you find it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That is so true. And you know, you share in your book that Jesus is really the only permanent force in our life. How can someone use that relationship with him to move forward in this world in which we find ourselves in today? I mean, we had, you know, the COVID lockdowns, and then you got all the protests and the political instability, et cetera. How can someone come to the place of just leaning on the Lord and trusting him when, you know, basically the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And I think that's probably the most terrifying thing with folks, is the world's always going to be crazy. It was crazy in 400 AD. It was crazy in the first century. It was crazy in the 17th century. And certainly in the 20th century, we had two world wars. Jesus always ends up on top. And we have to go through these trials and these tribulations. And part of it is preparing us for our eventual home. Mm-hmm. And so I did this exercise when I first went into school. And frankly, I needed to do it because I could never have survived the first year of theological school not doing this. I stopped reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
I stopped listening to the news. and except for the Boston Red Sox. And what I found, you know, and everybody thought that's kind of a strange thing to do. How are you going to keep abreast of events? You know, I didn't miss anything, Pastor. Yeah. Not one thing at the end of the year. My life wasn't better and it wasn't worse, but who I was as an individual was different. I still had a long ways to go in my own personal life travel, and as I do today. But you can't grow in Jesus if you're going to worry about all the events of the world, because the world's always going to be crazy. It was crazy. You name the century, and you and I can cite chapter and verse why it was crazy. It's always going to be that way. So we should just focus on Jesus, loving our neighbor, and loving God. And if we keep life that simple, it makes life a lot easier.
Yeah, amen. You know, when you think back to the, you know, 50s and 60s, you know, they had the Cold War, the threat of nuclear annihilation and all that. But if something happened over in the middle of China or wherever, it'd be 2-3 weeks before you found out about it.
Right.
Oh, there was this huge earthquake and a big flood and all this stuff. Oh, wow, that is absolutely terrible. You know, now, I mean, they cut live while it's happening, you know, and right. And people are just consumed by this 24-hour news, and the news is designed to do one thing: tell you everything wrong that's going on.
Right, right.
You know, and I remember when Billy Graham and Rex Humbard and Oral Roberts, when they went on television, it's like, oh my God, they're coming on television, the secular thing, you know, and it upset a lot of people that they were doing that, but right. They were reaching the masses with the good news instead of the bad news.
Right. So I'll give you an interesting statistic about the news. So that you're right. The news is only designed to scare you. Mm-hmm. Right. And all of the major news outlets today have a third of the audience that they had 15 years ago. Yeah. And some of them, think about this, 330 million Americans and only 1 million people are tuning in to CNN every night. Mm-hmm. And they haven't learned that lesson of what we learned from Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. People want to hear the good news, especially the good news about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Americans right now are frustrated with that. And, you know, my message to all of them is to just keep the faith, keep doing what we're doing, and ignore those noisy gongs. Evil is always a noisy gong trying to irritate us and scare us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But God's word is the still, small voice.
Yes.
Even with the prophet, he was in the cave and God had to do all the shaking and the moving and all that. Because that's what's on the news.
Right.
He said, when it all settled down, he said, there was just this still, small voice. He said, now, what are you doing here? You want to see the news? There it is. Now, just quiet yourself for a minute. Get alone with the Lord. And I said, now, here's what you need to do.
Yes.
And that's, I absolutely agree. I have to admit, I watch about 10 minutes of the news every morning and every night, and mainly it's to watch the weather. So I know if I can work outside or not.
Well, the weather is very important. Very important. You know, it's interesting. I hear all the time, Pastor, that Christianity is declining. That couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah.
Christianity is growing in leaps and bounds throughout the world, despite the persecution, despite all the naysayers. Where it's growing is in the most impoverished places in the world, Africa, South America, the poor countries of Asia. So Jesus is still doing his work. And perhaps those of us in modern society should look at that, at that lesson of the power of Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. But before we finish today, I want to get back on your podcast for a little bit, A Closer Walk with Jesus. How long have you been doing this podcast?
About a year. It was year and a half ago.
Okay.
And, my first attempts were, Pastor, they were awful. They were nowhere near as professional as yours are, because I was still an academician. And that's, you know, one of the problems with going to Theo school is you become very academic in how you think. And so for me personally, the benefit has been to become more normal, I guess, and be more common, and which is really all I want to be anyways. And I realized I was answering my professor's questions, like, prove that, make sure that's right, make sure this is right. But really, that's not how Jesus wants us to deliver the message. Jesus wants us to be conduits, not professors.
Amen. Yeah. I remember, you know, you said that the first few episodes were not top notch. I remember every now and then I go back and listen to some of my first ones from 3.5 years ago, and I'm like, oh my God, why did anybody even listen to this stuff?
Amen. Amen.
I mean, my first, I didn't even know it was called a podcast. You know, I was led by the Lord to start a 30-minute online radio program. That's all I called it. And it was me talking on a flip cell phone on a free website that would send it to iTunes. That was, I didn't even have a website or anything. And I started getting a following. I'm like, wow, this is kind of cool. You know?
Yeah.
And then, like I said, about 6-7 months into that, I got approached by an AM radio station conglomerate. Said, we listened to your podcast. That's the first time I ever heard it called a podcast. And said, we think you'd be a good fit for our Christian audience. Would you like to go on nationwide AM radio? Oh yeah. Well, then I really started taking it serious, you know, and sound quality, time management, all that stuff started going into it at that point in time. And that's what brought us to where we are today. I mean, the Lord started with that humble beginnings, but every now and then I'll go back and just listen to like the first 3 or 4 episodes, like, oh man, it's amazing. So I understand exactly what you're talking about. But that's the thing. It's taking that first step, and then the Lord will open the next step. You know, I was led, like I said, to start a weekly 30-minute online radio program, which today is called a podcast. But if I hadn't gone that step, I would have been offered that opportunity to go on nationwide AM radio. When I took that, that's what laid the foundation for this entire radio network and stuff that we have going on now. But it's just, what you know, not to be totally honest, if the Lord would have showed me back in 2009 what I'd be doing today, I'd be like, you got the wrong guy.
You know? Well, that's how he works, and it is that's our walk in faith, and you're a wonderful example of that. You know, that's your testimony is so encouraging for me, and I'm sure for everybody that's listening as well.
Man, well, I appreciate that. But Dr. Bruce, this has been a fascinating interview. And I do want people to know how to get in touch with you. If someone wanted to reach out to you to ask a question, how can they do that? How can someone get in touch with you or get more information?
Well, I do have a website, www.brucelhartman.com. I'm on all the social media, and I always use the tagline Bruce L. Hartman. So whether it's Instagram or Facebook or Facebook is Bruce L. Hartman Ministry. LinkedIn is obviously Bruce L. Hartman, and Twitter, which is probably the best way to get a hold of me.
Okay.
Because I'm at least on that every morning, you know, writing Amen. My morning prayer.
Amen. And your book, Jesus is Everything, Discovering It All When There's Nothing Left But Jesus. How can they get a copy of your book? Is it on Amazon?
It is. And unfortunately, the reality is, I know this drives people crazy, but 95% of all books today are sold on Amazon.com. You can buy it off of my website, and we will ship it to you. But the best way is Amazon. And it's on an audiobook now, too. I had a wonderful woman narrate it. And also, if they would like it today, they can get it on Kindle.
Amen. Amen. So you didn't do your own audiobook?
Well, that's, you know, it's like you were talking about how you've developed as a podcast genius. Narrating a book, it's a different science. And for instance, every word you say has to be perfect. And those of us, particularly myself, would have thicker accents. I'm sure you know I'm from Boston. It's dilutive to the process. But the other thing I thought about as I was doing this is that I think 60% of the people who either read my books or listen to my podcasts are women. So why not have a woman, and she's very highly rated, and she was very professional. It was thrilling to work with her.
Amen. That's awesome. That is awesome. I'll put links to all this down in the show notes down below. Folks, Dr. Bruce Hartman's book, Jesus is Everything, Discovering It All When There's Nothing Left But Jesus, this is a must read. I mean, in this book, Dr. Hartman uncovers the real Jesus, the man behind the religious legend, right? And Dr. Hartman shares what Jesus wants us to accomplish with our lives as well. I mean, this book is written for real people just like you, just like me, who are seeking answers to real life issues. And for those answers, Dr. Hartman is pointing everyone to Jesus. Amen. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is for you to get a copy of this great book. Actually, probably need to order two or three copies. Amen. I know that you know one or two others that would benefit greatly from Dr. Hartman's book, Jesus is Everything. Just go down to the show notes and order your copies today. Dr. Bruce, I want to thank you for taking your time today. Appreciate you coming back onto the program. I know you have a busy schedule, and I do appreciate your time today.
Anytime. It's always enjoy being with you.
Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Dr. Bruce Hart, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.